1976. That's the name of the lecture by, I believe it's Richard J. Galambos, that I finally got to listen to. Got an email, I've been talking to for quite a while, has been trying to get me to listen to the V50 lectures, which cost about $125. And I've been unwilling to pay that because I don't understand this guy. But apparently he published, or he's dead now, foundation published the V76 lectures on the web free. And my friend in email turned me on to it, and I went and checked it out and listened to it. And it's a very interesting lecture. So I'll reference that here in the notes. Galambos is a philosophical, political thinker who talks on something he calls volitional science, which is a science of how we can devise a society that does not need to use force at all. It's almost an anarchy society. And you remember I talked about Spooner, and Spooner was kind of an anarchist in the early 1800s, and Galambos is kind of an anarchist in that way. Anarchy is probably a bad word for what he wants to do, but the secrets of his volitional science and how it will actually work is locked up in his V50 lectures, which they want $125 to get the MP3s. I think it's about 20 hours. I'm not sure how long it is. So I listened to this free one, V76, seven lectures, 7 hours, and I was pretty impressed. And I just want to give you a summary of it here, save you some time if you don't want to watch it. Galambos is hard to listen to because has a weird pace. He'll talk and pause and talk and pause and talk and pause. In fact, if you listen to it at high speed, like I will sometimes do to pick up stuff quicker, it's very pronounced and it's difficult to follow him. Because the pauses seem to be just periodic and random. They don't seem to fit with the flow of thinking. So I don't know if that's when he looks down at his notes and then delivers. I'm not sure what it is, but I think I'm still puzzled why Galambos' stuff isn't free and why he hasn't written it down. You know, his ideas are not that hard. I don't think, from what I gather from V76, it's not that hard to discuss them. In fact, I'll discuss them here. Basically, V76 is about Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine was, in Galambos' eyes, the founder of this nation because he laid out the ideological thinking, the radical thinking of getting rid of monarchy and of the divine rights of man standing above the divine right of kings. And I think his thinking was profound. And when he wrote Common Sense, it became so popular in America that one in every six Americans read that book, short pamphlet. And here was a simple short pamphlet, and Paine didn't get any money for it. He sold it for as cheap as he could and published it himself and ended up not making any money off of it, although it was probably the best-selling work, one of the best-selling works in human history. And it changed a lot. And another thing that Galambos did, or that Paine did, that Galambos points out, is he did something called the Crisis, which was 13 letters published for the Revolutionary Army to read and be inspired. And there are quotes from those, and I can't remember the quote offhand that Galambos gives, but there are famous quotes that no one is told who wrote that, but it was Thomas Paine. In the Crisis, inspiration was what the Revolutionary Army needed to keep going. And, of course, the Revolutionary War, as Galambos points out, was not paid for by taxes. There were no taxes to pay for that war. It was totally voluntary. Everything donated to the army itself, the generals, and everything was all voluntary. And they had hardly scraps of clothing to work with sometimes. And they defeated the British Empire. That's pretty amazing. Galambos points out that at the time, I guess the Britons thought that the holding on to India was more important than holding on to America. Big mistake, but lucky for us. There was so many amazing things that happened in the Revolutionary War that you just know that there was divine providence behind the U.S. being formed. But Paine, another thing that Paine did, and he started out, interestingly enough, as a corset maker in England, and then became a tax collector in England, failed at that, begged to come back in with a letter, got reinstated, failed at that again, left for America on the advice of Ben Franklin, got to America, and got a job as an editor of a magazine in Pennsylvania, where he pulled the magazine from the edge of disaster to profitability by himself, writing all the articles in it, most likely, under pen names. And he wrote articles on, for instance, the abolition of slavery and the equal rights of women, which shows you how forward-thinking Thomas Paine was. He had changed. By the time he got to America, he became a radical, principled man. And Paine was a deist, as I believe Glambos is, the way Glambos talks. And deism is an interesting thinking because, you know, here we are in the wake of the Reformation, and you had a corrupt church, that the Catholic Church, that gets reformed into a whole smattering of divisions of Reformed churches that say, well, we've got it better than they had it, but none of them agree. And the confusion in that might have set a lot of people off saying, you know, people do not know what they're talking about. They can't figure it out. Let's not worry about it. Let's put God off in the corner and just acknowledge he exists and he made everything, because we have no explanation for that. And let's just go and rationally think our way through life without him. And that's a deist. And the way Paine thought, you know, Paine was a good man from what Glambos describes him, because his goal was just to do good. And he was thinking on a global scale. He considered himself a citizen of the world. And he considered his job to serve mankind. And that's laudable. That's more laudable than a lot of Christians I know. I'm just sad that, and I've always been kind of confused to how the Christian religion, most people in it, do not really have an interest for the world. Their interest is in heaven, which is kind of a selfish interest. As long as I got my mansion, I'm cool, you know, and screw the world. I don't care. It's not my job. Not my problem. And that not my problem attitude has allowed a lot of big problems to happen. Now we have really big problems. Glambos, in fact, says in his V76 lectures that he didn't think America had 100 years left. He didn't think the world had 100 years left. He thought that because we had weapons of mass destruction and we didn't have proper ways to govern ourselves, that we would destroy the earth within 100 years. And maybe he's right. I mean, things are looking pretty crazy right now. And the weapons we have are really crazy. But I don't think the rulers that are behind all this craziness intend to destroy their own kingdom. But they're crazy enough they might, you know, just to win. And it seems, you know, when you look at chemtrails and other crazy things they're doing, it just seems like they don't care about the world. They don't care about destroying the earth as long as it's theirs, you know, which is nuts. But Glambos is interesting in the introduction. And he talks about how Paine actually penned the Declaration of Independence. And apparently there's an original version of the Declaration of Independence, which he read excerpts from, which is much stronger worded, much better than the one that ended up out of committee with Jefferson and Adams and other people in the Independence Committee. Jefferson's credited with writing the Declaration of Independence, but Glambos claims that Jefferson actually never accepted credit for that till he was an old man, till just before he died. And he assumes that Jefferson, just his mind went, he forgot that he didn't do it, and because everybody thought he did it, he just believed him. And so he thinks that, and when you look at the way the style of the word hath and stuff in the Declaration of Independence, it points to Paine, and he's got a lot of evidences to point to Paine. It's kind of a cumulative little piece of evidence here and there and there and there. When you take them together, it pretty much points to Thomas Paine, and no other man could have done the Declaration of Independence. And Thomas Paine was also a clerk in Pennsylvania who penned probably the laws of the Pennsylvania Minority Report and the origin of the Bill of Rights, which is amazing. I mean, this guy was everywhere where he needed to be to influence the American Revolution. And after the American Revolution, he got into trying to build some steel bridges. He was an inventor, a scientist. He went over to France then to get involved in the French Revolution to try and straighten that out, and almost got beheaded, barely got back in time to save his head, and then died a penniless man, which I've heard some people claim that made Thomas Paine a wretch because he died penniless. He died penniless because he gave everything away. The man appears to have been an amazingly righteous man. And right after his death, some guy, I can't remember his name, wrote a scathing biography on him. And, of course, he wasn't allowed to defend himself. And so there are bad biographies out there about Thomas Paine, and there are good ones. So you got to find the good one. But Glambos made a pretty good case there. And then he goes into the whole thinking of looking forward where we need to go and the whole idea of volitional science. And he says Paine, in the 18th century did the best he could, but, he didn't go far enough. We ended up with a republic, but the republic was inefficient, founded by the founders, but, it's fallen apart, and it wasn't far enough. We need to abolish government altogether. We need a cultural or some kind of societal set of rules that he won't reveal. In simple language, that will somehow balance out and guarantee protection of private property, including intellectual property, which he considers one of the most important things. And it makes sense. I mean, he talks about how people who have invented inventions, eventually, if they live long enough, find that they need a permit to use their own invention. And this is how crazy things have gotten. The patent stuff is all messed up. People are buying people's inventions and property, and the people who made them are not getting credit or, the wealth that they should get for their inventions. And it's been corrupted. I mean, I'm sure it's been corrupted like the law's been corrupted. We live in an age of corruption. I don't know. I'm still not on board with this full volitional science idea that we really can get rid of all force. There are so many stupid people out there, although the volitional science people will tell you that that's because the state has made them that way because of their state upbringing and all the collective surroundings, that the environment is so bad that we're creating all these statist thinking people that can't live an honest and independent life. And there's something to that, but it sounds very much like the communist argument of the state withering away once the proletariat revolution was finished. It sounds exactly like that. So I think, though, I was quite impressed by Glambos, and I think he is a good thinker, and I think his stuff is worth listening to. I want to summarize his stuff accurately, maybe in writing, and get it out there because it needs to be in that form, and it needs to be free. Glambos is, an interesting thinker. He's dead now. I don't know why his stuff isn't open there for everyone to see. Thomas Paine gave it away. Thomas Paine's his great mentor. He loves Thomas Paine, and yet he doesn't do what Thomas Paine did, which is, publish it and get it out there and let people see it. I think volitional science should be able to be packed down to a single page of concepts that anyone can understand. It should be that way. Why you have to listen to 20 hours of lecture and pay $125 for it kind of blows me away, especially after his death. I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me, but I think I might buy the V50 lectures and go through it and find out. Because he's got quite a following from the few people I've interacted with on the net, and these are idealists. And they have kind of a utopian view of what they think can be done with Glambos' ideas. And this world definitely needs it. Glambos also emphasized in V76 that Paine had the ability to make things happen. His writings, his ideological writings, gave the images of ideas and put them into the common man's mind in a way that revolutionized, was the true revolution. He defines revolution as a change in ideas, a turning around of ideas and thinking of a populace, whereas a rebellion is something where it's an armed revolt against an existing system. He emphasizes that to get to freedom, you don't fight tyranny. You fight for freedom, and you'll get to freedom, but you can't get there by fighting tyranny. Absence of tyranny is not freedom, but presence of freedom is absence of tyranny. Interesting thinking. And I think he's right. Movement needs a positive goal, not a negative goal. if you're always fighting negative goals, you're always defensive, and you're never going to get anywhere. You have to be positive. So I look forward to checking out the V50 lectures and distilling that maybe some for you and getting that into a form that's easy to quickly summarize and think about. There's problems I've been debating online with some of these volitional science guys on email, I think, of how you protect property without force. You know, I think the system, you know, Glambo says if we got back to where what we had in 1776, we still would not have gained anything. And that's a good point. But, you know, what we've lost is respect for the law. The law has been corrupted. Respect for it's been corrupted. Common law has been lost. Jury nullification has been all but destroyed. It's been slow. It's been wars that have caused a lot of these changes. There's been amendments lost to the Constitution. There's been, you know, usurpations of new constitutions written at the state level. And a lot of this has slowly crept in from government education because they don't teach people how to think in a free society. They teach people how to think in a social society. The John Dewey myth of education is not conducive to a free society. And we're reaping the benefits of that. And I know there's a lot of people that understand this stuff, but not enough apparently. And so that's why I'm doing this podcast and hoping that this will eventually help some people to think clearly. So that's my take on Glambos. I think he's a pretty good guy. Another point I wanted to bring up is Glambos loves Isaac Newton. He thinks Isaac Newton fundamentally changed the way society thinks about reality and applies science to the solving of all kinds of problems, not just physics, but he thinks social problems as well. And I think he's right in a big sense. I mean, Isaac Newton set down the law of physics, and the whole world was like set in stone for many hundreds of years before quantum physics started to dislodge some of that thinking. But it's interesting, if you look at LaRouche, Lyndon LaRouche does not like Isaac Newton for the precise reason that he put things in these simple, stupid formulas that were not real and took away all the creativity and the mystery out of physics. And I'm not real clear on LaRouche exactly why he doesn't like Newton, but he seems to think Newton was just an opportunist. Not an opportunist, but he was used by people to make him look smarter than he really was, and that he was really a hack, that some secret society people promoted his stuff to the level of genius and put it out there because they wanted a framework of logic to be able to get rid of God. And that's interesting. I don't think LaRouche was saying that, but that's the way I see it. The logic of Newton actually gets rid of the need for God, and that promotes deism. And it's a religious issue of the nature of God. The nature of God affects the nature of the world. And once we got evolution into the picture in the 1850s, the deists became the rationalists, and God became dead. Because we had now an explanation for everything. We knew, understood everything. We understood physics from Newton, and we understood creation from Darwin, and we're done, man. There's nothing to explore. We're done. We figured it out. We're God, you know, and that's where we are now. We're in the postmodern, I am God position, and it's pretty sad. But we are rapidly trying to go back. I mean, there's a real swing, natural swing of the pendulum, to go back to the honoring of a creator. The New Age movement is doing that. I don't think that's good because their God is themselves still, but they at least acknowledge a creator and they don't swallow evolution. The evolutionary thinking has gotten into everything these days, and you can see it. People talking have this evolutionary thing in the back of their head. They don't even realize it. It really taints your thinking. Once you can get out of that into a creation mode, it changes your whole worldview and your thinking about everything. So the Newton issue with Glambos versus LaRouche is an interesting thing that I wanted to point out that I've seen. So I think I've taken enough time for this podcast. So I hope this is helpful. I have lots of links here about the V76 lectures and these ideas. Thomas Paine. It sounds like reading a good biography of Thomas Paine is a really good thing to do. He was a very interesting man, and that was an interesting period. A lot of neat people and doing amazing things. So let's pray we get another era like that, and we can pull ourselves out of the mess we're in without destroying the world, as Galambos fears. And with that warm, fuzzy thought, I'll sign off.